Thank you, Pastor. Thank you very much, Pastor Means. You know, I'd like to say good morning to everyone. Okay, I heard about seven people, so I'm going to do that again. I'd like to say good morning to everyone. Oh, that's much better. That's much better. You know, I know it was a little chilly last night, but now we can just get some air in our lungs and just enjoy the beautiful day that God has given us. You know, I thank God for Pastor Means. I just found out that we kind of ran the same circles in the New York area. And so good to see you here and doing a wonderful job here in Alberta. As he told you before, my name is Jonathan Runnels. I'm a chaplain in the U.S. Air Force. Now, you said Army. Now, we're all one team, one fight. But, you know, if you get an Air Force guy and an Army guy in here, we're always going to tell them that we're the best, okay? And they're always going to admit that we're the best. No, they're not. They're not. I'm sure that you have that going on here. There's different friendly competitions that you have going on and so forth. And so I'm just so excited to be here. I come from a beautiful place called Monterey. Oh, yes. How many of you have been to Monterey? You know about Monterey. I said Monterey. He says, oh, yeah. Yeah, beautiful area. I tell you, it was surrounded with water, the Pacific Ocean. Every time I go to work, I'm looking at the Pacific Ocean. Wow. Now, it's too cold to swim, I have to admit. But it definitely does look beautiful. It looks awesome. Pacific, that's right. All the way on the other side, not the Atlantic, but the Pacific Ocean. So, oh, that's why you go to Los Angeles. Yeah, you go down south, and then you can get into the water because it's nice and warm out there. Oh, wow. So, anyway, I thank God for the opportunity of being here. Last year, as I told you before, I wasn't able to make it. Because just as I was working out the final arrangements to come here, unfortunately, there was a tragedy that took place on our installation. One of our airmen died tragically. And, of course, I had to be there to provide the eulogy for our servicemen and women there in the Monterey area. And so I was so excited when I was afforded the opportunity to come back to be with my brothers and sisters. You know what? I don't care where you go. I thank God that I have brothers and sisters everywhere that I go in this world. You know, I tell you, I went to South Africa one time. And I said, wow, this is awesome. Brothers and sisters right here in South Africa. I even had a chance of living in Turkey before I moved to California. And I saw brothers and sisters in Christ there too. And you know what? We have family here in Alberta, Canada. And so that's why I'm so excited about standing here in your presence today. You know, we're talking about the five love languages. Now, how many of you have ever heard of this book, The Five Love Languages? Okay, we have just a few. We have a few. If in case you haven't heard of it, no problem. We'll explain everything. And we'll get into detail as time progresses. But now you'll look at the screen and it says the five love languages, and it's dealing with singles ministries. Now, this is not characteristic just for singles. This is also applicable to those who are not single as well. As a matter of fact, let's see how many of you are single. Let me see your hands. Okay. Now how many of you are married? Okay. 2 years. Oh, but you... So in other words, you have the best of both worlds. You can talk from both sides of the fence. So now we ask the question, how many of you are single? How many of you are married? How many of you don't really know what you are right now? Well, if you don't really know, we're going to have you talk to Pastor Means. He'll straighten you out, okay? He'll get you on the right track. But that's okay. If you're single, if you're married, it doesn't matter. The principles still apply. They're still applicable. I promise you. And that's what we're going to be talking about, the five love languages. But we're coming from a singles emphasis because I was told to come here and talk to our singles population. All right. So let me just give you an overview. Today, we're not going to get into the five love, we're not going to get into any of the love languages as of yet. We're just going to simply talk about, we're going to contextualize what our singles demographic looks like. Okay, we're just going to talk about a few things as pertaining to singles. And as a matter of fact, those of you who are married can also relate because at one time, you also were single. As a matter of fact, I want to ask a question. For all of you who are married, who has been married the longest? How many of you have been married over 20 years? Oh, you've already raised your hand. You said, I know that I'm going to win this. How many of you have been married longer than 30 years? Okay, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. How many of you have been married longer than 40 years? How many of you are married longer than 50 years? Oh, how many of you have been married longer than 60 years? Okay, how long have you been married? Oh, let's get, amen. This is amazing. This is, as of last Sabbath, we should have sang happy anniversary to you. That's right. So we're so glad that we have models of successful marriages here. You know, if you look at marriage, in our societies, it seems as if it's a lost institution. But truly, God has been blessing, and we thank God for your witness and your ministry. So today, we're just going to contextualize the whole concept of what it means to be single. And also, on Tuesday, we're going to be talking about words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. And Wednesday, we're going to be talking about two specific gifts, acts of service and gifts, okay? We're going to be talking about two specific languages, excuse me. And then Thursday, we're going to be talking about QT, quality time. I love QT. Also, on Friday, we'll be talking about physical touch. And also, we're going to be discovering what your love language is. That's right. You're going to actually find out what your love language is. And if you don't know it, my trip here would not be worthwhile. That's why we want you to know exactly what your love language is. And you're probably saying, well, what's a love language? Ha ha ha. Don't worry about it. We're going to get into that really quick. We're going to get into that. So, first of all, let's talk about our singles. Textualizing our singles today, okay? As we think about that, we talked about how many people here are single. But I'd like to ask you a question before we begin. What is the reason why you all came here this morning? Why did you all come here? Anybody? Oh, you know what? Thank you very much. Thank you. You made my day. All right. I will never forget this moment for as long as I live. Thank you. There you go. What was that? What? Oh, she said, well, somebody tell her. I don't want to sound like I'm somebody.
Can you All right, can you hear me? Okay, she said, because you're so good looking.
Okay, I'm done. I'm finished for the day. But anybody else? Why did you come here today? Anybody? Love for God's children. Amen. God has called us all to love one another. Amen. All you got to do is just read 1 John. I mean, it's all radiating through the Word. Anybody else? Unity in the marriage. As we're talking about before, as we're looking at marriage, it seems like it's a lost institution. And one of the things that we're trying to do is to bring marriages together. Not only marriages, but all different types of relationships. That's what we're trying to do today. Anybody else? Thank you. Why did you come here today? Okay. Thank you so much. If I could reach over there, I'd give you a handshake, you know, but I can't because we have a role right here. But but thank you for being candid. Yes, just so that we can learn better ways of establishing better relationships. And I think I saw your hand. Pretty much the same thing. How to show love to other people. All right, you know. I thank you so much. Anyone else? Why did you come here? And I know it's not because anyone made you come. You're not in the military, okay? In the military, you're always voluntold, okay? You don't volunteer. You're voluntold, okay? You will be here at 0800 in the morning. That's what we do. All right. But anyone else? Ah. Okay, I want you to come up here and teach this lesson because you hit the nail right on the head. I'm telling you, that was awesome. That's what I'm talking about. These are the things, these are the reasons why we are coming together today. And there's something that I noticed. Every one of you mentioned this. You always mentioned someone else. You're trying to build relationships with somebody else. It's not about to make me just a good person. No, it's about trying to relate to other people. You know, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, what does it say? That's right. God says, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper for him. You see, when God, I can imagine as Adam was seeing all the different animals, naming all the different types of species and things of that nature, I can imagine that something was different. Adam was probably saying, you know, something's wrong here. But I just can't quite put my finger on it. And the Lord says, I know what it is. And so the Bible says that he took a rib out of his side and then he produced another being. And do you know why God called, do you know why Adam called her woman? No, because he looked at Eve and he says, whoa, man. He says, oh my goodness, this is bone of my bone, as you said, flesh of my flesh. This is someone that I can actually relate to. This is someone that I can experience life with. This is somebody that I know is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. The birds and the bees have their own kind. Finally, I have someone that I can relate to and someone that can relate with me. You see, we are not creatures that live on an island. You see, I honestly believe that this does not only apply to married couples. I believe that God is saying man cannot should not be alone. Man cannot live life by themselves. God made us social creatures. And this is why we're talking about the love languages, so that we can better relate to those people that God created in his own image, so that we can truly exemplify God's character. And so this is what we want to talk about these next few days. And we're going to be talking about a few facts. Okay, because we're going to be talking about a few facts. And I know I have U.S. statistics here, but I know that even though we're talking about America, the only information I have is based on America. But I know that even those of you who live here in Canada can also relate to some of these things here. You see, I'm told that as a result of looking at the research, that the U.S. has the third most single adults of any other country. And of course, China, huge amount of singles because they have a huge population. And then you also have India as well, also with a huge population. But per capita, the Americans, USA has about the most per capita as it pertains to single adults in our society. As a matter of fact, 2/5 of adults are single. 2/5. That's right. So if I were to raise my hand like this, and I took away two of my fingers, three. Okay, let me take away three. These are how many people we have single in America. Isn't that amazing? Let me not say America. You know, I need to be aware of where I am. We're talking about the U.S., okay? The U.S., because you guys are saying, wait, we are America. That's right, you are, okay? Yes, we have to re-educate ourselves. When we come to different countries, we U.S. citizens have to do that. That's right. It's not just about us. That's right. I know that's what you're thinking in your minds, huh? That's all right. But anyway, 2/5 of adults in the U.S. are single. That includes, and we're going to get into that. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. This is also talking about that too. Okay? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. We're going to actually look at what it means to be single as well. You see, it's a very diverse demographic. Very diverse. Yeah, you have different types of singles. As a matter of fact, if you have a question, please let your voice be known. Thank you for saying that. I don't want to go ahead and go too fast for you all. So if you have any statements, if you have a question, if you just want to make a point, please, please feel free to do so at any time, any time. So therefore, we have a very diverse demographic of singles. You see, when you look at the types of singles that we're talking about, there are five different types that we're really talking about when we're talking about that 2/5 of U.S. Are singles. You know, 49% of them have never been married. 49% between the ages of 18 and above. And these are statistics as explained by Dr. Gary Chapman, the author of The Five Love Languages. And so you can imagine when you go to different church functions and they have different marriage retreats, and then they have youth federations, and they have pathfinders, and they have men's ministries, they have women's ministries, but then there's a whole segment of people or demographic that we're perhaps not really focusing on, a huge demographic. We understand that, the strength of the church is found in, you know, strong families. But sometimes people have to just be a family of one. Excuse me, a family of four. You have yourself, you have the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen? So what we're talking about is very important, especially as it pertains to the Church of Jesus Christ, the remnant church, because it comprises of such a large population. As a matter of fact, 10% of people are divorced, okay, at any given time, although divorce rate is about 50%. In America, at 10% of any given time, 10% of the population is divorced, okay? And let me just clarify, 49% of the singles are never married. Not 49% U.S. citizens. We're talking about 49% of singles are never married. That's what I'm talking about. But then you also have another 10% that are divorced at any given time. Now, some people may be divorced and then move out of that phase when they remarry, okay? And sometimes you'll have people who remarry several times. And so that's why the divorce rate is at 50%. But at any given time, you look at the singles, about 10% of those are divorced. Also, you have those who are separated. You know, although they're still legally married, they're still living in different households. And, you know, and also, we have 4 out of 5 women are widowed. Now, I want to stop right here. 4 out of 5 of those who are widowed are women. That means only 1/5 are men. So the question I'm saying is, men, what's going on? What is the reason for this? What was that? Women outlive. Why is it that the women outlive the men? Thank you. So what we need to do is take down some notes and figure out how you all live longer, okay? So maybe you guys need to come up here and teach us how to do that. But the bottom line is, yes, it's usually women outlast men. Maybe it's because you have some men that are older than their spouse. It could be because, as you said, back in the day especially, there was a lot more stress that men had to go through doing this and that and so forth. That could be the reason as well. I don't know the reason why, but I do know that usually this is usually a characteristic of women. Yes. You know, you are preaching the word. You are preaching. Because, you know, I'm going to tell you something. And men don't like directions. We don't like to stop and give directions. We like to just, we can figure it out, right, men? We got it under control. And then an hour later, we have to, you know, eat our humble pie and just go on back and say, you know, I was wrong, you know? But that could be one of the reasons why. I don't know. But this is a reality that is very important. And also, we understand that 1/3 of our families consist of those coming from single parents. Now, this is a very unique demographic as well, because not only must they care for themselves, but they also have to care for their family as well. You know, maybe they might have a daughter or a son. A lot of times, sometimes they endure financial struggles, especially as a result of a divorce. Divorce always causes some degree of financial strain. And if a mother or father is having to rear kids all by themselves, especially without the support of the spouse, then a lot of times that can really cause a lot of strain. And it can have an effect on relationships. And you're constantly having to worry about putting food on the table. You're having problems. You're always wondering how you're going to make ends meet. And having to work 2 and 3 jobs just to make sure that you have a place over your head. These are very, very... this is a very real situation. This is a true reality in many households. And so, but there's one characteristic about this whole concept of... Yes, I'm sorry. Yes. That is so true. That is so true. That we do have social assistance that helps out in that area, and she said that other countries, and I'm going to come back to you real quick. I can especially speak on behalf of Turkey. I just spent about a year and a half in Turkey. I was assigned there in a place called Ankara. Some of you have seen different things that are going on in Ankara right now. How they tried to overthrow the government. President Erdogan had to flee Ankara and run over to the Istanbul area. When I was there was a lot of refugees that were coming over, and they didn't have an official support system, not like we have here. There were people who were coming over with just the clothes on their backs, trying to escape persecution. There were people that had nothing else, and all they had to do was they put them in some part of town. And I'll never forget that. My heart would cry out and say, Lord, have mercy. How wonderful and how blessed I am to be in the situation that I'm in. many people did not have the assistance that you and I are able to receive here in North America. And that is so true. I mean, and that's why we need to constantly be thankful for the blessings that God gives us. That's true. And sir, you had your hand up? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you had your hand up. Thank you. But this is true. Now, we talked about five different types of singles. But it doesn't matter if you're married, or excuse me, never married, divorced, separated, widowed, or even if you're a single parent, there's one thing that everyone has in common. And that, of course, is all singles, no matter who you are, red or yellow, black or white, it doesn't matter in God's sight. We all need love. We all need love. I don't care who you are. You're going to have a heart as hard as a rock. You need love. You can say to yourself, I can make it all on my own. I'm my own person. You need love. Even if you say to yourself, I don't need people. I don't want to even be around people. I've heard people say, I don't even like people. But you need love. You need love. You see, the main need for everyone is for singles to experience love through meaningful relationships. And the most devastating loss that anyone could ever receive is not the loss of income. It's not losing your house. The most devastating loss is not of losing your job. Not in my experience. From what I've found, the most devastating loss is when you lose a relationship or when you don't have your support system. I remember when I was stationed over in Afghanistan. And as a chaplain, I saw some things that I don't think that I really should have seen. I talked to people that the morning of, they were walking around freely. And later on that afternoon, their legs were amputated, blown off. I've talked to guys that were burned from head to foot. I've seen guys that had been shot up, guys that have been just mangled, guys that have flipped around in their Humvees. They're all bruised and broken. And I remember there was a group of individuals that were in a Chinook helicopter, and somehow or another it was shot down, and the people that were up front in the helicopter, they died. But those who were in the back of the helicopter, because of the way the crash took place, those who were in front took the brunt of the impact, and they were able to survive. And I'll never forget this. As I was sitting in their hospital room, I looked at them. And I was talking to them, trying to minister, trying to muster up something to say that would somehow bring them hope. But the only thing that they were saying was, you know what? I don't care about my injuries. I don't care if I'll ever walk again. If I can just have one more moment with my comrades at arms. If I could just have one more opportunity to see those individuals face to face that died, I would do this again. You see, I realized then that as long as you have people in your corner, you can go through just about anything. If you know that you have the love of the person next to you and you have the support, you can go through just about anything. You see, the most devastating loss is a lost relationship. You know, I've talked to parents. Pastor, you mentioned that I pastored over in the West Virginia, Allegheny West. I remembered pastoring in the West Virginia area during that time. And I remembered talking to a couple of sisters that had not talked to each other in over 40 years. I have talked to people that been upset at different members in their church because so-and-so didn't do this or he or she looked at me the wrong way and I just don't want to talk to them. And I'm just going to sit in my old corner here and I'm not going to worry about anything. You know, these things actually happen. You see, the most devastating loss in life is a loss of relationship. And I can truly, truly say that this is why we're talking about the five love languages, so to somehow mend these relationships. And somehow we can come together and bring about a connection. You see, what we want most in life is to feel connected. We want to feel connected. No one wants to feel like they're alone and by themselves. You know, as I said before, if you can somehow feel connected to someone, to a loved one, then you're most likely to endure hard times. And you know, I thank God that we have someone that we can feel connected to, and that person is none other than Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I will be here from the very beginning and the end. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I heard one guy said, I am the Alpha and I'm the Omega, the beginning and the end. And sometimes we need that experience with someone. You remember Jesus Christ. You remember Jesus Christ when he was on the cross. Even Jesus Christ realized that he needed someone. When he was on the cross, he says, my God, what? Why did you forsake me? Even Jesus Christ realized his need to be connected to someone, some type of support system, even as he was dying on the cross. And so that's what we're going to be talking about, building these support systems. You see, the purpose of this seminar is to allow us to realize that we are all relational beings, every single one of us. You see, relationships influence our outlook on life. You see, connectivity is the key. Connectivity is the key. And so therefore, we're going to learn how to express love and experience love in a way that we can understand. You see, we're going to learn how to express love and also to understand love in a way that we can all understand. Now, right now, I want us to do a little exercise, okay? I'm not talking about running around the camp. I'm talking about a mental exercise, if you will. I want us all to take a trip. And where do we want to go? Anybody? Hawaii? Okay, I have 2 free tickets for you and... No, I'm just kidding. Who said that anyway? You're like, oh, really? We're going to Hawaii. Well, we're all going to go to Hawaii with you, okay? But you know what? I tell you what. They all speak English in Hawaii. Let's go to another place. We'll go to that next summer, okay? But let's go to another place. Any place? Yes. Tahiti. Okay, what type of language do they teach there? Do they speak? Tahitian. Does anyone know Tahitian? Oh, you know. Oh, you're... Oh, okay. Oh, Peru. Okay. We'll go to Tahiti first, and then we'll head out to Peru. So... How many of you like to eat? Oh, yes, everyone loves to eat. If you don't like to eat, I know you do eat because you're here. But let's assume that we're going to fly over to Tahiti and we go to a local restaurant there in Tahiti and you look at the menu and they have all of these pictures of this delicious food that they have over there. Now, I don't speak Tahitian, but I can assume that they have some really tasty food out there. Now, let's just assume that we're sitting at the restaurant together. We have a big table. All of us are able to sit together. And then there's a waiter that comes over and he says, okay, can I take your order? So we begin to say, okay, well, I'll take this, that, and the other. And we're reading everything on the menu, and he provides us the food. And some of you may say, well, you know what? I like my food with a little bit more salt. And you go to the waiter, and you said, hey, can I have some salt? And he says, oh, okay, yes. And he comes back, and he gives you water. And he says, no, 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 no. You're not understanding me. And so you look at the menu, and you're trying to find the word for salt, and you don't know what it is, and your phone does not work over there, so you can't Google it. All right, I knew someone was going to say, I'm just going to use my phone. No, no. So you can't do that. And so now you say, no, 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 I want some salt. And he goes back and he gives you a dessert. And he says, no, I want salt. And the man is so nice. He's one of the nicest men on the island, but somehow or another, he doesn't quite understand what you're talking about. You can have you can explain all you want, but if you can't talk the same language, it's not going to work. You can still be as sincere as possible, but if you're not understanding the same language, then it's not going to quite work. Thus is the whole concept of the five love languages. You see, you can actually be on one accord with each other, but if you're not speaking a language that is understood and perceived by the other person as love, they're not going to quite get what you're trying to do. And so that's why we're going to be talking about love. We're going to be talking about how to love and also experience love. You see, there's two stages of relationships. You see, we're going to try our best to move from one phase to the next phase and strengthen that second phase. What am I talking about? You see, I'm not even talking about just between married couples, or between if you have a special friend, boyfriend, girlfriend. I'm not even talking about that. We're talking about relationships as a whole. But we're just going to use a married relationship just because, okay? You see, there are two types of relationships. You see, there's an obsessive phase and also a covenantal stage, okay? You see, the obsessive stage is very interesting. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you were married for longer than a couple of years? Well, actually for 2 years and above. Okay. So let me ask you. How many of you, what is the most wonderful thing that you can say about your spouse? Anybody? You can always count on him. You can always count on him. And let me ask you a question. During the early phases between the first and second year of marriage, what do you remember specifically about your spouse? Well, what is the most striking thing that you can say? Provider and a go-getter. Provider and go-getter. Okay, anybody else? Anybody remember your first date? Can you tell me what happened? Well, you'd probably say no. What do you mean? Yes. You went to a show. Oh, okay. And I guess you looked at it and I'm like, yeah, take that, huh? That's all right. That's all right. And anybody else? Anybody remember the first images of your relationship with your spouse? Yes. Oh, my goodness. Hold on. I just want to shake your hand. I just got to shake your hand. This is the man, I'm telling you. He talked to the conductor and he says, "Now I want you to find out where she's going. I'm riding this train with her." They've been riding this train for the last 55 years. Oh, Lord have mercy. That's awesome. That's amazing. Oh, my goodness. Woo, man, you guys need to write a book. I'm telling you. Anybody else? I see you all laughing back there. You guys are laughing about something. Okay, anybody else? Yes. Oh, wow. That's all right. Yes, met at church. Amen. Wow. All right. All righty. You know, it's so amazing because whenever I do this type of activity amongst the military, I always talk about the first couple of years of marriage, and everyone's like, yeah, such wonderful times. But then I say, well, what happened to the next couple of years after that? All of a sudden, they're like, oh. You see, the first couple of years, love is blind, and next thing you know, I mean, you don't see any faults. You know, the emotions are high. You get that little butterflies in your stomach, and everything starts tingling. But then all of a sudden, you get to the next phase, which is the covenant phase. And all of a sudden, you start noticing things about your partner. You start seeing things the things that you really used to appreciate. Oh, wow, she talks so beautifully. And all of a sudden, I wish she would just not talk so much. And then, you know, before it's like, oh, yes, I love the way that he fixes things around the house. But then after a while, I wish he would just finish something. Okay? You were going to say something. Oh, yes. He said after the first 2 years, that's when all the blinders come down. That's when all of a sudden we see things as they really are. And we're still trying to get to know each other. And then sometimes it's just knowing how to relate and things of that nature. And so the excitement decreases and all of these different things. But this is the time, it's a very huge opportunity to allow ourselves to intentionally grow toward each other. You see, when it comes to any type of relationship, whether it's between married people, whether it's between singles, whether or not it's between a mother and father, daughter and son, these things take intentionality. And so therefore, you have to be intentional in what you do in order to grow relationships. Because if you don't, then things will go sour. Things will begin to go south. And so therefore, we don't want that because everything is great up north. Amen? Ah, yeah, we're talking about Canada. That's right. Everything is great up north. And so therefore, we need to make sure that we have tools by which we can actually enhance our relationships with one another. Now, the way that we do this is by the tool that we're going to use is looking at the five love languages. And sometimes you'll see the five LL, five love languages. Yes, ma'am. You know, it's funny because as you think about nurturing a flower, I come from California. We're having the worst drought in our history, and things are truly, truly dry. I've never seen it. I was born in Northern California, and as a kid, I remember running around and seeing the green grass and the vines growing on the buildings, but now you go back and everything is all dried up and shriveled up because there's no water to nurture it. You see, thus is the same way as it pertains to relationships as well. We need to have that nurturing. We need to have that time together. We need to find out ways by which we can come together and grow together. That's why in a spiritual sense, it's so important to have that personal time with our Lord every morning. That's why it's so important to have that time spending in meditation and prayer and study of God's word so that we can nurture, that have that relationship nurtured with the Lord. And so it's not turning out to be dried and frizzled out. And so it is when it comes to our interpersonal relationships. And so therefore, the five love languages provides the following. The knowledge of the nurture of love. Nature of love. In other words, it gives you an understanding of how love works. It gives you an understanding of how love works, but also it encourages you. As you're able to understand how love works, you're able to somehow be able to say, because I see how it works, now it's encouraging me to give love and to present love in a way that a person can truly understand. And so it allows you to emotionally express and experience love. As we said before, no man, no woman is born on an island. Everyone needs everyone in order for us to grow, to mature, to function properly. The way that we do this is by interacting with one another in a loving way. And so, once again, this is relevant not only for singles. This is relevant for married couples, for single parents with their child and also parental relationships. This is dealing with how we interact with people at the job. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you right now, how many people have issues? How many people have issues at the job? Man, I need to move to Canada. We all have issues at the job when it comes to things at the job. How many of you have ever had an issue with a neighbor? Telling you, I only see a handful. I'm moving here to Canada. Some of you are saying, yeah, because of the political climate there in America, in U.S., huh? I'm like, no. I'm just teasing. I can't say that. You know, I'm in the military, so I have to behave myself, all right? Yeah. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what relationship you're talking about. This is characteristic for every single one. Now, we're going to get into this relation or these languages in a few. Okay, we're not going to do that today. As a matter of fact, my only course of action was to just express or explain what these love languages are so that in the upcoming days, we'll talk about these particular things. Okay, the first of all, we want to let you know that these things are coming from the book, The Five Love Languages. I believe that the books were ordered, and I believe that they are available for sale. If I'm not mistaken, am I true to say that? You saw them this morning, and so we want to make sure that you have an opportunity to purchase one of those books. They're there for your choosing. And now it's only for singles, but we want you to know that you can also order online the marriage edition as well. Okay, but the same principle we have. They're pretty much all the same principles in both editions. And so, therefore, even if you're married and you buy the book, it's still going to be the same thing. It's just using examples of individuals who are single, okay? So we're going to be talking about words of affirmation on tomorrow. And then we're going to be talking about gifts and acts of service, quality time, and physical touch. This is what we're going to talk about these next 4 days. And so we want you to make sure that you keep these things in mind. And now, we've about finished up. We're almost finished here today. I know we have, we're supposed to end up at a quarter till 11, but we're going to wrap it up in the next 10 minutes, okay? And so therefore, you have an opportunity to go to the bookstore and purchase your books. Amen. But we want to just give you a little homework, okay? What we want you to do is to choose a wingman. You're probably saying, what is a wingman? Well, this is just a little term that we use in the Air Force. And a wingman is someone that's right there by your side. You see, when you're flying and you're going on a sortie mission, you know, they don't go off by themselves. They always have someone to follow behind them just in case someone is coming behind them. They can watch their six, okay? And they can say, oh, someone's coming around the six. I can pull around and take them on the flank and then take care of whoever's trying to attack them. That's why they always have a wingman, to have another set of eyes to make sure that that person is always covered. And so guess what? We're going to have wingmen here today. We're going to have wingmen. And the airmen, the soldiers call them battle buddies. And what these individuals are individuals who are right next to you. And you're going to actually talk about these types of concepts that we're about to engage in this week. And you're actually going to be practicing these things on one another. Okay? Yeah, you thought this was just a seminar. No, this is a laboratory. That's right. It's a laboratory. We're going to learn some things about ourselves. We're going to practice these things. We're not just going to sit here and listen. We're actually going to say, okay, Lord, we're going to see how these things can actually help bring about change. And so we want you to talk about, go forward and do these things and select someone. And also, this is what we want you to do. We want you to talk about what love actually is, okay? I don't want you to look in a dictionary. Mm-mm. I don't want you to look on some type of app on your phone, okay? We want you to talk about what love means to you from your own words. It's going to be the word according to John, what love means to me. We want you all to talk about it. We want you to hash it out. Because we're talking about love these next few days, and so therefore we want to make sure that everyone has a concept of what that is as far as what they're saying. And then we can talk about definitions of love and things of that nature. But this is what we have for today. We want you to do some homework, choose a wingman, and also define love in your own words, okay? And so therefore, we just want to talk about just give a brief overview of what we talked about. We're saying that this seminar is based on five languages, as the author says, by which we can understand and express love. We're not living on an island in and of ourselves. We are here because we are social creatures. We're all here. And as a matter of fact, you all said that the reason why you're here is so that you can have a better understanding of how to interact with those who you come in contact every single day, every hour, you know, day or night. But if it's the person that you go home to every day as married couples, if it's those of you who have children at home and you're single parents, if it's even those of you who have to attend church all by yourself because you are classified in that singles category, we're all here so that we can learn how to better function in this area. Now, I'd like to open up the floor. Does anyone have any questions about what we've talked about thus far today? Does anyone have any questions? Do we need to clarify anything for today? Yes, ma'am. Well, in my case, I would have to choose someone I don't know. Because I haven't met anyone until this weekend. Well, we can have them, because basically the most important relationship that they have is between themselves. And we want them to understand who they are and what they what actually makes them tick. And so therefore, I think a husband and wife situation is very good, because first and foremost, we want you to have the best relationship in the world besides Jesus Christ. And incidentally, this relationship that you have down here is nothing compared to what we have up there. You see, as we talked about last night, we are all complete in Christ. It is Jesus Christ that completes us. You see, it's not the spouse that makes you who you are. It's not how many names or how many degrees that you have next to your name. Not how many numbers you have in your bank account. It's not even the prestige that you might have or enjoy. Those are not the things that make you who you are. You see, we're all complete in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one that makes us somebody. Jesus Christ is the one that gives us our identity. Jesus Christ is the reason why we're able to live, move, and have our being right now. And so therefore, we understand that even though Jesus Christ is our everything, we also want to enhance our lives down here as we enhance the relationships that God has given us so that we can rightfully reflect His character to everyone. You see, I'm going to tell you right now, if the world can see a church that loves each other, if the world can see a church that is so unified, you know, it's so amazing because when I look at, and when it comes to ISIL and ISIS, that really, I'm intrigued by these concepts because that's the nature of what I do, and these are the things that we're looking, those are the things that we come across all the time. But when you look at what causes an individual to want to say, I'm going to blow up this whole area. I'm just going to just detonate myself and just blow myself up. One of the reasons why they find themselves in that situation is because they have a sense of belonging. They have a sense of connection. And even though I truly don't believe it is in the right context, no, by any means do I see that being the way that God intended us to be, to kill innocent lives. No, not at all. But one thing I can say is I can look at the nature of humanity. And oftentimes, as I said before, as people feel connected to something or someone, they feel like they can actually do the impossible, even doing something as crazy as blowing themselves up. You see, I'm telling you, if the world is able to see a church that loves one another, they're able to see families that love one another, if they're able to receive love from those individuals that they work with on a daily basis, those are the types of situations where we can come and we can actually be of influence and say, hey, have you considered a man by the name of Jesus Christ? Have you considered what Christ has done for your life? Have you given your heart to Jesus Christ? You see, when people see healthy working relationships, as a result of that, they're able to somehow be a witness to other people. And so that's what we're going to be talking about in the next few days. And so right now, I know I have 15 more minutes, but this is all I have for today, unless you have anything else. And so to answer your question, if you're single, we want you to talk to someone who is single. If you're married, we want you to go ahead and link up with your spouse. We want you to talk about these things. We want you to converse about these things so that as we're going throughout the weeks, you're internalizing the principles that we're talking about today. And so tomorrow, I look forward to talking to you all about words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. Okay? And as a matter of fact, we're actually going to do this same seminar later on in the afternoon. You see, this is just the beginning. This is just the warm-up. The real thing happens this afternoon, right? No, I'm just teasing. No, but thank you very much. At this time, I'll turn the program over to... Yes, okay.
Richard, how many people enjoyed the seminar? Oh, well, we truly appreciate your time. Shall we all pray, please? Father, we thank you for the words of wisdom we have received this morning. And this is just the beginning. The best is yet to come. So continue to bring us all here. Continue to teach us. Continue to instruct us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we'll all have a short break, but we'll be back again later at 11 o'clock for the next service right in here in the auditorium. God bless you all and see you again in the afternoon at 4 o'clock, but before that, 11 o'clock right in this area. God bless you.